So I'm going to begin by reading the passage for Philippians that we're focusing on this morning. If you've got your Bible on your phones or in a low-tech form, reliable. So we're looking at chapter 2 and verses 12 to 30. If you've got an NIV like I've got here, you'll see there's a little heading that says shining as stars. And it continues from that beautiful image of Jesus emptying himself and taking the form of a servant and being obedient to death and how God raised him up. And I just mention that because otherwise I'm starting with a therefore. And when you start with a therefore, you have to look back and see what it's there for. Yeah, okay. So, therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault, in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe, as you hold out the word of life. In order that I may boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor for nothing, even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him who takes a genuine interest in your welfare, for everyone looks out for his own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know that Timothy has proved himself, because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him as soon as I see how things go with me, and I am confident in the Lord that I myself will come soon. But I think it is necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker, and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger, whom you sent to take care of my needs, for he longs for all of you and is distressed because you heard he was ill. Indeed, he was ill and almost died, but God had mercy on him, and not on him but also on me, to spare me sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore, I am all the more eager to send him, so that when you see him again, you may be glad and I may have less anxiety. Welcome him in the Lord with great joy and honor men like him, because he almost died for the work of Christ, risking his life to make up for the help you can give me. So, shining as stars. We use the word star a lot. We thank someone and say, oh, you're a star. Or we talk about the star of a show. But that is, of course, not the sense in which Paul is using the word stars here. So could I have a volunteer or maybe several volunteers to look out of the window where you are or maybe look out of the back doors there and look, just look up at the sky for a minute. Right, we have some volunteers if you're sitting near the window. We have some people to look up at the sky. I'm not seeing anybody moving. Yeah, thank you. Go and look at the sky. Yeah. Okay, can you see any stars? No stars. Okay. So where have the stars gone? Nowhere. Thank you. Yes. They are all still there. They're all still shining. And why couldn't we see them? Because it's daylight. Yes. But they're up there all the time, shining whether we see them or not. And that is the first point that I want to bring out about stars today. They are steadfast. They're not individually outstanding or amazing or spectacular in the sense in which we say, you're a star. Paul here, did you notice, linked being stars with being obedient? And that is not a link that we're familiar with, but it makes sense to Paul. He's calling on the Philippians, and God is calling on us to be faithful, to be humble, and to keep on doing the things we've been called to do, whether anyone sees us or not. Just as stars carry on doing what they do, even when it's daylight, nobody gives them a thought. And then when it's dark, against the background of what Paul calls here a corrupt and depraved society, which we also live in, against that backdrop, Christians should and will and do stand out like stars in the night sky. Not because they've suddenly started doing things differently, but because people start to notice them. Now, I was never terribly good at reading the night sky as a child because I grew up in London, where the light of all the street lamps means you can't really see the stars very well. So when I went to university, it was a sudden revelation to me what the night sky really looked like. You know, I'd go out into the quad and say, wow, look at the stars. And, you know, other people would pat me on the head and say, yes, Elizabeth, stars, they're always there. But never take the stars for granted. De Paul's interest in the stars wasn't sort of aesthetic, they look beautiful, it was entirely practical. And typical of anyone of his time in all those communities and countries around the Mediterranean. When you're on a journey, especially a sea voyage, what are the stars actually for? Navigation. Yeah. Navigation. The stars help you find your way. Okay, now we're going to see who was a scout or a guide or did the Duke of Edinburgh or whatever. Hands up, who knows how to find the North Star? Yes, lots of people, okay? Shout it out for me. How do you find the North Star?
I go up to the end of the Big Dipper.
Yeah, you go up to the end of the Big Dipper, right. Some people call it the Plough. Yeah. Some people call it the Great Bear, Ursa Major. It's only very recently that I discovered that Ursa Major and the Plough, it's the same constellation. I told you I didn't know very much about reading the night sky. And I like that American name, the Big Dipper. You know, not Big Dipper like on a fairground, but something that you dip into a pot of water to tip out the water. It's a ladle. I mean, to me, I think, yeah, it looks like a ladle. I can get that. Anyway, three different names, same group of stars, and you follow a line from there and got it. The North Star. The guiding star, the one that's totally reliable and that helps you make sense of where you are and where you need to be. Right? The North Star gives you your direction. And I hope you can all see the direction that I'm going in with this. Paul tells the Philippians they shine like stars in the universe as they hold out the word of life. And they're doing this in the midst of a corrupt society. And you know, being all at sea, in the dark, without any clear idea of where they are or where they're going or even where they ought to go, is a pretty good summing up of how things are for most people in our society today. A lot of people hearing that are going to put their hand up and say, yep, yeah, that's me, that's how I feel. I feel lost, I feel confused, I don't know where I'm going, I don't know where I ought to go, I don't even know where I am. And others are in that position, but I haven't quite realised it yet. And what is our message of hope to people who find themselves drifting along like this, in the dark, confused, lacking direction? It's the gospel, it's Jesus. Yeah. The good news is you can find your direction. You have a loving Heavenly Father who cares for you and wants to welcome you. And Jesus is always there for you, the North Star, ready to guide you, ready to make sense of things for you. That was the good news Paul preached to the Philippians when he first went to Philippi. And it's the same gospel today, hasn't changed a bit. As the old hymn puts it, there's a way back to God from the dark paths of sin. There's a door that is open and you can go in. So Paul's message of commendation to the Philippians is this: you are a constellation. He doesn't tell them they ought to be or they should be. He says, you are. You keep on doing what you're doing and you are a constellation. And it is the quality of their relationships as a group that is going to shine in the darkness and point people to Jesus. Right? If I backtrack to last week's reading just for a moment. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Well, wow, wasn't that a bright, shining contrast to the dominant society of Paul's day? Wouldn't it be a bright, shining contrast to the social norms of our day when everybody's been encouraged to look out for their own interests and we are called to be different? When they see Christians living in that kind of relationship with each other, of honouring others, of humility, of serving the interests of others, the non-Christian world does sit up and take notice. Our speaker last week, Steve, mentioned how a member of staff who was leaving his employment talked about Steve's Christian faith as oozing out of him, and not just him, but other Christians on the staff. Collectively, Steve and his Christian co-workers were a constellation, a Big Dipper, pointing to the North Star. I don't mean to suggest there's no place for the lone evangelist or for the individual Christian sitting down one-to-one with a friend and explaining the gospel. Of course there is. But over and over again, what we see working in the New Testament, what we see working in our society today, is the gospel being spread by a team, by a group, and everyone in the group has a part to play. Gee, who was it who said we'd be known as Jesus' followers by our love for each other? Who said that? By this, people will know that you have love for one another? Yeah, Jesus. Hey, who can be relied on to know a thing or two about what works and what doesn't work when it comes to spreading the good news of the kingdom? Jesus said that's how people are going to know it's real. Look at Paul's situation here. He's in prison, we all know. And he's rejoicing that because of his imprisonment, the whole Praetorian Guard is hearing the gospel as they take it in turns to be chained to Paul. But it wasn't just Paul who was communicating the gospel to those guards. Imagine one of those guards coming off duty and he goes into the guard room and he sits down and says to his mate, boy, that Paul can talk. He goes on and on. I feel like my ears are dropping off. I mean, he really believes in this Jesus bloke, but it's got to be a lot of hot air, isn't it? I mean, Jesus really a God? How come he doesn't bust Paul out of this prison? But then the other guards say, hey, you should have been here. Yesterday, bloke turns up with a whole load of gifts for Paul. I mean, a load. Got a funny sort of name, Aphrodite, something like that. I mean, that's a girl's name, isn't it? Anyway, he turns up here saying, this bunch of whatever they call themselves, Christians, yeah. They've heard Paul's in prison and they've sent him a present. You want to guess where this guy travelled from? Well, go on then, tell me, I can't guess. Philippi. Philippi? Are you kidding me? That's miles, miles and miles away. I know. One heck of a journey, isn't it? And this Aphrodite guy's half dead when he got here. He goes in to see Paul and they just about threw a party. Yeah, that made me think. All the way from Philippi. Would somebody do that for me if I was in prison? Do you know what these Christians, they all seem to do it. It's very easy for us to read Philippians and almost miss Epaphroditus and his role in all this. I mean, he's just a delivery guy, right? He turns up with the gifts, he goes home, oh, he got sick, he got better, yeah. That is not Paul's perception of Epaphroditus. Epaphroditus is his fellow worker, his fellow soldier, his brother. And in bringing those gifts from the Philippians Epaphroditus is a bright, shining star in the constellation who together are pointing the Roman gods towards Jesus. And there is also Timothy, who is like a son, who as a son to a father has served with Paul in the work of the gospel. And what is Paul going to do with Timothy? He's going to send him to the Philippians. That's how important they are to him, that he can bear to part with Timothy, his son in Christ, his right-hand man, his consolation in prison. He can bear to part with Timothy to stay in touch with the Philippians. So, what should we take away from this? First of all, that it is important to hold out the word of life. We need to tell people the gospel. We need to use words. We need to point them to Jesus. But ultimately, it is the quality of our relationships that will convince people that we are followers of Christ, that this love of God, love of Christ, is for real. And looking around Stroud, I feel many causes for hope. I see many examples of Christians living out exactly that kind of life. Let us give credit to our fellow Christians. It's not just SCF. Big shout out to the Salvation Army and all the work that they do. And people see the work that they do. And they also hear the message, he is able to save. The street pastors were out last night in Stroud, four on patrol, two back at base praying, a little constellation of believers. The two back at base, more important than the four who go out. We don't go out unless there's somebody there praying for us. And there they are, sharing Christ's love in a practical way. Actually, last night we genuinely did point somebody in the right direction, because we dropped in on the railway station. There was a chap sitting on the side, you know, where the trains go down to London. I felt really bad having to tell him, you know, there's no more trains this time of night. I'm sorry, you've missed the last train. He said, how am I going to get back home? I thought, well, not home, but where he needed to get to, because he was a stranger around here. I said, where do you need to get to? And he said, Stonehouse. It's the other platform. It's the other platform. But if we hadn't been out there, he would have sat there and his train would have arrived and it would have gone without him. And he really would have been stuck. So just, that's literally pointing somebody in the right direction. But people also do see the work of the street pastors, not just in Stroud, right across the country, a whole network of people showing the love of Christ in a practical way. And you can think of lots more examples. I went out to the Long Table a few days ago. If you've not been to the Long Table, Brimscombe Mill, just behind the Ship Inn, really try and get out there. It's amazing what they're doing there. It's an initiative of the Diocese of Gloucester. Again, a shout out to other Christians who are doing amazing things in terms of just saying, you know, turn up, have a meal. If you've got money, you can pay for it. If you haven't got money, don't worry. So there's a mixture of people there. But it's a Christian initiative showing the love of Christ. There's Stroud District Kids stuff there, Stroud Food Bank, the Grace Network, the clue is in the name. A grace network, a constellation of shining stars. And together, they are pointing people to the love of God. So as SCF, I would like to leave you with a thought about working on the quality of our relationships. Carving out an hour from our busy lives to meet up with somebody from the fellowship and get to know them a bit better. Now, Dan and I did this last week, because the week before he'd said something that, you know, just caught me. I thought, that's really interesting. I'd like to have a chat to Dan, and I know he's a really busy guy. So I said to him, when we see each other on Sunday, tell me when you've got some time free. And it was so great. Just sit and chat for an hour. And now we know each other a lot better. Yeah, we can't look to the interests of others if we don't know each other. Of course, we're all Christians, we all love each other, but that time of getting to know,
yeah.
A short while after the service is pleasant, but it's short. Find that hour. Find that hour, go for a walk together, have a chat. Deepen the love, deepen the friendships. And then we will shine like stars as we hold out the word of life together.